Shalom, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank God for another privilege of coming together at our weekly Bible study as we study God's Word together in our various homes. I'm trusting God that your study today will do you good, will bless your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For some weeks now, we've been looking at the doctrine of the application of redemption. And we've been able to successfully study in the past few weeks what it means to experience the gospel call, how regeneration takes place in our lives, and what it means to be born again. We've also studied conversion and repentance. What does it mean to be converted, and what does it mean to have repented? We also look at the doctrine of justification, which is actually our right legal standing before God. And also, we have looked at adoption, membership into God's family. And just last week, we took time to look at the privileges of our adoption. And we have also examined sanctification, which means growing in likeness to Christ. We shall soon round off this particular study before we move to another one. But today, we will be looking at the topic, God and man cooperate in sanctification. How God and man cooperate together in sanctification. I want to believe by now the family will have taken time to read the background study for today's, the background passage for today's study. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. But for the purpose of emphasis, I will go ahead and read the same text again. Now, may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when it comes to sanctification, there is need for cooperation between God and man. God's work is primary, and our work as men in sanctification is a secondary one. God works in our sanctification, and we also need to work, and we work for the same purpose. That means both God and man, when it comes to sanctification, both need to work together for the same purpose. And what is the same purpose? The same purpose is our sanctification. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13 says, and I want to read, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." I love that. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Now, in this text, two people are working. While Paul says we ourselves should work out our salvation with fear and trembling, he also says that it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So when it comes to sanctification, both man and God have to work. We are not saying that we have equal roles in sanctification. That means, doesn't mean the role of God is the same as the role of man, but we both have to work for sanctification. We must cooperate with God in ways that are appropriate to our status as God's creation. And the fact that the scripture emphasizes this role that we must play in sanctification, with many of these commands we find in the New Testament concerning our morals, that makes it appropriate to teach that God calls us to cooperate with Him when it comes to our sanctification. Today, we are going to look at what is the role of God in sanctification. And number two, we are going to look at what is the role of man in sanctification. Let's start with the role of God, or God's role in sanctification. Now, since sanctification is primarily a work of God, it is appropriate that Paul prays, "May the God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely." In the passage we have read, Paul is praying that God himself will complete our sanctification, will sanctify us fully, completely. One specific rule of God the Father in this sanctification is his process of disciplining us as his children, as we find in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. Paul tells us that God is at work in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. Thus, he's indicating something of the way in which God sanctifies us, both by causing us to want to do his will and by giving us power to do that same will. The author of Hebrews speaks of the role of the Father and the role of the Son in a similar benediction when he said, "Now may the God of peace equip you with every good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21. So, invariably, the role of God, the Son, Jesus Christ, in sanctification is first that he hand our sanctification for us. Therefore, Paul could say that God made Christ to be our wisdom, to be our righteousness, and our sanctification and redemption, as you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Moreover, in the process of sanctification, Jesus is also our example, for we are to run the race of life, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Peter tells his readers, "Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. And John says, "He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." 1 John 2, 6. But it is specifically God, the Holy Spirit, who works within us to change us and to sanctify us, thus giving us greater holiness of life. Peter speaks of the sanctification of the Spirit in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And Paul speaks of sanctification by the Spirit in 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. Take note, Peter speaks of sanctification of the Spirit. Paul speaks of sanctification by the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who produces in us this fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And those character traits that are part of greater and greater sanctification. If we grow in sanctification, we walk by the Spirit and we are led by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 6 to 18. Romans 8, 14 says, "Those who are led by the Spirit are actually the children of God." And that is, we are more and more responsive to the desires and promptings of the Holy Spirit in our lives and even in our character. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of holiness, and he is the one who produces holiness within us. And this is God's role in our sanctification. Now, let's look at our own role as human beings in sanctification. The role that we play in sanctification is both a passive one, in which we depend on God to sanctify us, and is also an active one, in which we strive daily to obey God and we ensure we are taking steps that will increase our sanctification. We can now consider both of these aspects of our role in sanctification. Firstly, what may be called the passive role that we play in sanctification is seen in texts or passages that encourages us to trust God or to pray to God and ask that God will sanctify us. Paul tells his readers in Romans chapter 6, verse 13 and verse 19, yield yourself to God as men who have been brought from death to life. He also tells the Roman Christians in Romans 12:1, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Paul realizes that we are dependent on the Holy Spirit's work to grow in sanctification. But he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. In Romans 8:13. Unfortunately today, this passive role in sanctification, this idea of yielding to God and trusting Him to work in us, to will and to work for His good pleasure, is sometimes so strongly emphasized to the extent that all that people do is just say, I'm trusting God, He will take care of me. I'm trusting God, He will not allow me to sin. And they are not also making effort to obey the commands of God. This is a tragic distortion of the doctrine of sanctification. The popular phrase is let go and let God. Let me just see what God will do. No, it's not about that. While you are trusting God, you also have to make an effort to live that life that will glorify God. As Christians, we must not become lazy and we begin to neglect the active role that the scripture commands us to play when it comes to our sanctification. There are many aspects to this active role that we are to play in sanctification. Very clearly, the Bible says we must strive for holiness, without which no one will see God. Hebrews 12:14. John says, we must, those of us who hope in Christ, we must actively work at purification in this life. We must abstain from immorality, and we must obey the will of God, which is our sanctification. That is what Paul also added in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself as is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Paul tells the Corinthians to shun immorality. Hear that. Shun immorality. Run away from immorality. 1 Corinthians 6:18. And they must have partnership. They must not have partnership with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. He then says, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, and make holiness perfect in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. This kind of striving, daily striving for obedience, daily striving to do the will of God and for holiness, may involve great effort on our own part. For Peter tells us, make every effort to grow in character traits that accord with godliness. 2 Peter 1:5. Many other specific passages in the New Testament encourage detailed attention to various aspects of holiness and godliness in life. It is therefore important that we continue to grow, both in our passive trust in God to sanctify us, and in our active striving for holiness and greater obedience in our own lives. If we neglect active striving to obey God, then we become passive, lazy Christians. And if we neglect the passive role of trusting God and yielding to Him, then we become proud and overtly confident in ourselves, thinking by our own power we can live a sanctified life. In either case, our sanctification will be greatly deficient. So we must maintain full faith and diligence to obey at the same time. Full faith in God to sanctify us, and diligence to obey Him as He sanctifies us. The old hymn wisely says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. We must trust Him for our sanctification. We must also obey Him by following His commands, that we may live a sanctified life. So our role in sanctification, there's no doubt that sanctification is a corporate process in the New Testament. It is something that happens in a community. We are admonished to consider to stir up one another, to love and do good works. And we must not neglect meeting together, because through that, we can encourage one another to live a life of holiness. Together, Christians are built into a spiritual house so that we can become a royal priesthood. Together, we become a holy nation. Together, we are to encourage one another and build one another up. Paul says that to live a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called, we must live a special way, a special life that will glorify the Master. When that happens, the body of Christ functions as a unified whole. Each part is working properly. So that is what we call corporate sanctification in the body of Christ. When each member of the body ensures that he or she is living a sanctified life, our coming together brings about a corporate sanctification. And such delights the heart of the Almighty. I need to state here that sanctification affects the whole person. It affects our intellect, our knowledge. It affects our actions as we have put on a new nature. And the Bible says that new nature is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of our Creator. Galatians 3:10. Paul prays for us in Philippians 1:9 that our love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. He then urges the Roman Christians to be transformed by the renewal of their mind. Romans 12:2. Although our knowledge of God is more than intellectual knowledge, there is certainly an intellectual component to it. And Paul says that this knowledge of God should keep increasing throughout our lives. We should be increasing in the knowledge of God day by day. The sanctification of our intellects will involve growth in wisdom and knowledge as we increasingly take every thought captive to be Christ and find that our thoughts are more and more the thoughts that God Himself imparts to us in His Word. Moreover, growth in sanctification will affect our emotions. We will see increasingly in our lives emotions such as love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. We'll be able to increasingly obey God, just as Peter admonishes us to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against our souls. We'll find it increasingly true that we do not love the world or things in the world, but that we, like our Savior, delights to do the will of God. In ever-increasing measure, we will become obedient from the heart and will be able to put away the negative emotions involved in bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander. And day by day, we are being perfected, we are being sanctified, and we are becoming better. Moreover, sanctification will have an effect on our will, and that is our decision faculty. Because God is at work in us to will and to work for His good pleasure. As we grow in sanctification, our will will become more and more conformed to the will of our Heavenly Father. Sanctification will also affect our spirits, the non-physical part of our beings. We are to cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and spirit. And we must make holiness perfect in the fear of God. As Paul says, that a concern about their fears of the Lord will mean taking thought for how to be holy in the body and the Spirit. Finally, sanctification affects our physical bodies. Paul says, May the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, Paul encourages the Corinthians, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. Let us make holiness perfect in the fear of God. As we become more sanctified in our bodies become more and more useful to the Lord. And we become more and more useful servants of God. And more we become responsive to the will of God and the desires of the Holy Spirit. We will not allow sin to reign in our bodies. We will not allow our bodies to participate in any way in anything that is immoral. But we will treat our bodies with care, and we will recognize that our bodies are the means by which the Holy Spirit works through us in this life. Therefore, we are not to recklessly abuse our body or mistreat our body, but we are to be made useful and able to respond to God's will. Hear what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. And I love the way it ends. So, glorify God in your body. As we strive after sanctification, we realize that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is within us. The Holy Spirit is within us. And our body we have received from God. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We must glorify God in our body. I pray for everyone who has been a partaker of this study, the grace to walk out to salvation which we are trembling to release unto you. The power to constantly play both your active and passive role in sanctification be released unto you. Trust God to sanctify you and also obey Him for sanctification. Till I come your way next week, remain blessed in Jesus' name. The family can now take time to reflect on what we have studied today and probably make some contributions and ask some questions, and the good Lord will bless you. Once again, stay blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.